Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have a very interesting show for you today. And I think this show is a part of Women's History Month because we have some amazing, beautiful young ladies on the show today. We're going to listen to them, we're going to learn from them, and we're going to find out what they're passionate about. But before I go ahead and introduce today's guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do every day of the week, Monday through Friday, to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's an entrepreneur, there's a business owner, there's someone who needs assistance with their business and their life. And they won't have this information unless you go ahead and share the show. So go ahead and text it out, tweet it out, inbox it out, post it on your social media. Your LinkedIn hasn't been commented on in a long time. So go ahead and post the show to LinkedIn so your friends, your network can have this vital information. Who knows? It might just change their life and they might learn something. So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your network, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest, Miss Julie White. Julie White is an award-winning entrepreneur, best-selling business author, TEDx speaker, and has advised thousands of business owners as the founder and CEO of Blue Key Mergers and Acquisitions, a boutique multi-million dollar firm she founded in 2004. And through her best-selling book, Exit, 12 Steps to Sell Your Business for the Price You Deserve. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. You know, one of the things that I love about the show is that I don't pick the dates. The guests pick the dates, and somehow, some way, it just all seems to work out. But I wish we could have had you on yesterday's show. We spoke with Jim Esteele, and he creates businesses, buys businesses, and sells them. So we had a whole discussion on, is it necessary to sell your business? Or maybe you're just happy with the status quo. So Julie, we'll definitely love to hear your thoughts on, is it better to sell or better to keep it? Tell us about yourself, Julie.
Yeah, well, thanks. You know, I'm sorry I missed that. That would have been a juicy conversation, but we'll just continue it here in a little bit of a different light. I teach women. So the part I think that's missing in your intro, and thank you for that, that was very generous of you, is that in 2012, I started a coaching company called The Well for Women Entrepreneurs. So I have been coaching women on how to grow businesses that are someday sellable based on my first company, because I believe that all women need to start a business that they can get that pot of gold at the end of their entrepreneurial rainbow. And if you're going to work that hard, you might as well benefit from it at the end as well. So yes, you want to build a business that's sellable. You know, sell when the baby is producing at a high level. Not, you know, we fall in love with our businesses, and no judgment if you want to keep your company forever. Dirty little secret, kids don't want to buy their parents' business, so don't think you're going to pass it on because they don't want it. They want to do their own thing. But you know, I'm a big fan of starting a company, growing it to where you have a team that can run it. I have a whole team of coaches. And then I started another company last year, Bossa Bars, which is an energy bar for women in menopause, because The Well is set up in a way that it can run itself primarily. I only do the parts that I really, really love, which is coaching the women. And then I had the bandwidth to start a second company. So yes, grow a business, start a business, and with the intention that you can sell it someday, then it's going to be organized and prepared so you can also do other things as well. You can enjoy it along the way. Don't wait until the end.
I love it. But I want to hear more about these Bossa Bars. What are they? How did you come up with the idea to start this company?
Yeah, they were a pandemic baby. My last kid, I have three adulting kids, went off to college and sitting around mostly, from home last year during lockdown. And I really started working on my body. I'm 55, and the
Oh,
mental
wow.
middle started showing up. And I'm like, I don't really like this. And so I started kind of hacking together some food in my kitchen. So because I was really craving sweets, I don't know about sitting all around, but it's probably the hormones on fire, right? So, and so how do I get good nutrition in my body that's, gluten-free, all natural, vegan, all that good stuff, high dense nutrients, but also satisfy that chocolate kind of flavor that I was wanting really badly, especially at about 7:30 or 8, or all day, depending on the day, right? So anyway, I started making them in my kitchen, not so good. Then I finally got something I liked. My husband loved the samples. I knew I was onto something. I call him my menopause guy, And so then we decided, let's do something crazy. I'd always had service companies. Let's launch a product company. So partnered with a women's health advisor on hormones, clinical nutritionist, pulled all these pieces together, and we are in pre-launch. We'll have product in April. I'm so excited. Every day somebody says, I need a Bossa bar. The fun thing about starting a second company at 55 is that all your friends, all your BFFs are menopausal too. So everybody wants a bar. So really fun. It's really exciting to be in a conversation about something that our hashtag is Meno Like a Boss, because the conversation around menopause is mostly like shame, like suffer in silence. No one wants to talk about it. And it's time to empower menopause. So let's do meno, let's boss the menopause this time from the other way. So that's our
I love
story.
it. I love it. I have to go through, and I always feel bad when I don't remember offhand, but it is what it is. I had a guest about a week ago. I'm gonna find her for you, Julie. She makes clothing for women who are in menopause, and it cools the body temperature. So maybe you guys can, do some kind of partnership, because I'm like, I'm hearing all these new products for menopause. Maybe this is the menopause for older women type show on the round table talk show. I don't
You'll have to
know.
have a menopause show, right? Dedicated just to that, dealing with the pause. But that would be awesome. Yeah, that's a whole piece of it. Staying cool. I mean, that's the after show conversation about being cool at night. So yeah, for sure.
I'll find that for
Thank
you,
you.
Julie.
Okay.
Now, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, Miss Kathy Klein. Kathy helps people who are turning 65 navigate the confusing world of Medicare. She also helps people who are powers of attorney for their loved ones change their loved one's plan to something that works better for their loved one who is likely in assisted living or memory care. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I have to tell you, I think I'm in the right place today because
Menopause, senior citizens.
I could completely relate to menopause. I started going through menopause when I was in my mid to late 30s.
Oh, wow.
So,
Amazing.
it was early for me. So thank goodness. Well, I'm on drugs now, so that really helps with the night sweats and things like that. But I don't know how long they'll let me stay. They take you off of those after a while. So I'm actually a little bit scared about that. But yes, my primary business is helping people with Medicare, but I also have a podcast. I don't know if I told you about that, Sharifa.
No,
I have a
I don't believe so. I want to talk about the podcast in one second, but I want to go back to this. I just had to ask you, did you see the movie on Netflix, I Care a Lot? Is it I Care a Lot?
I do not have Netflix,
Oh, good. You
so I
got to get
have
Netflix. You got to stay
have
up
to.
on what's going on in the world. But has any everybody's been talking about it on social media? Has
I've
anybody been?
seen, is that the one where they it's not a good situation?
It's the lady who is supposed, basically what she does is she's a court representative, but she goes to the courts and she makes herself the representative for all these senior
And then
citizens.
she steals from them or
Yes,
whatever. Yeah,
you
I
have
have
to.
heard of
Yeah, you
that.
have to.
And I've actually, in my business, I'm a retired financial advisor. I've seen that. It does happen. It's very, very sad that things like this happen. I had a client who she'd been with me for years, And she called me up and she said, I want to change all of my beneficiaries from my sister to my caregiver.
Yes.
And I said, I could tell she was on speakerphone. And I said, can we talk about the, you know, can we talk about this privately? Oh my, she knows everything that I'm doing. She wouldn't talk to me about it privately. And when she passed away, her sister was devastated. And this woman had probably $600,000-$700,000 plus a $600,000-$700,000 house. It all went to the caregiver.
Oh, wow. Wow. If anyone has not seen them, I don't usually advocate movies, but I thought this movie was so different. It was so unique. It had spins, it had twists. And I just thought it was very creative.
What's it called again?
I Care a Lot.
I Care a Lot. I'm gonna see if I can check that out because I have heard about it. I've heard it was a really good movie.
It was really good. She tries to take advantage of the wrong person. I'll just leave it like that. But she tries take advantage of the wrong person. So I went on my own direction. Let's hear about your podcast, Kathy.
Oh, well, the podcast, you know, it's funny. The podcast has nothing to do with money. And it has nothing to do with insurance, nothing to do with Medicare. It's called Rock Your Retirement. And it's about all the other things that you need to know when you retire. And I started the show in 2016. So it's had a lot of episodes, a lot of downloads, but it's changed. In the beginning, I interviewed people who were authors or they worked in assisted living communities, or I interviewed people who talked about scams, whatever it was, we talked. It's all about retirement lifestyle. And since August, I've been following the life of a woman. We've cut the show down to once a month now, but I follow her from pre-announcement of retirement. She's actually retiring at the end of this month. It's getting very close. And then we'll follow her for 6 months after retirement. So, and then after that, we'll probably find another person who is getting ready to retire. It'll be somebody not like her. She's, you know, a professional and a go-getter and, you know, she's married. So we'll probably maybe find a single person to follow, but that's what we're doing right now in the podcast. It's very fun.
It sounds fun. It sounds creative. I want to hear more. Now, Kathy, I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, the lovely Kiana, the artist. Kiana, the artist, is a self-taught poet from Midwest Indiana. She has been writing inspiring, captivating, and educational poems for over a decade. Kiana, the artist, blazed onto writing arena back in 2010 when she was in high school and has performed in conferences, churches, and as an open mic performer. She has also performed poems in many cities, including Louisville, Chicago, Richmond, Indianapolis, and Atlanta, Georgia. Good morning, Kiana, the artist. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Do you have any poems about senior citizens or menopause?
I love it. I have one little short poem, and it's called Amazing. Amazing. The full of life is amazing. The amazing of grace, the amazing of love, beauty, touch, laughter, song. God is amazing. We can wake up and talk. That's amazing. We can go to school. That's amazing. We have food to eat. That's amazing. We all have gifts and talents. That's amazing. Today, God is amazing for showing us purpose through him. That's amazing.
Beautiful.
That's amazing. I love it. Now, let me just ask you. I know since the presidential inauguration, all of a sudden, the way people look at poets has changed. Have you felt that to be true?
Yes. In the last couple of months as well, been virtually performing on Zoom and everywhere else. I actually got nominated to be in an international magazine for women. It's actually in another country. So really blessed for that. I would send that information out because they just printed it out. But International Woman Day is very good. And actually being a poet is very good because, you know, we need poets, you know, to inspire others, to inspire people to know, like, hey, every day you have your ups and downs, but every day there's always going to be something amazing.
I like the way you bring it back. It bring it back to something amazing. That's the gift. That's the talent. So let me ask you this. Often when things are going on in the world, it's our artists who are able to tell the story. You know, 40 years from now, 70 years from now, over 100 years from now, people will look back and want to know what was going on during that time. And they'll look at the artist. Do you feel that you're the voice of a time frame?
Yes, I am the next generation. Continue to break barriers, to continue to break cycles around the world, and for the next generation of poets behind me. And I could say my ancestors, like Maya Angelou and Langston Hughes, that say, hey, you know, we left you something. So now I have to continue to walk with that torch to give to the next generation.
I love it. Do you feel that poetry is a dying art?
Yes. It helps with mental, physical, and also inside for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Kiana, the artist, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our very next guest, the wonderful, amazing Miss Cassandra Shuck. Cassandra has always been good at the hustle. From a young age, Cassandra grew up thinking that she had to be self-sufficient to find success. This motivation helped her escape from a home stricken with verbal and physical abuse. Her entrepreneurial endeavors taught her how trauma and unhealed wounds could manifest and affect you. Good morning, Cassandra. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me amongst these amazing women. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. And I love, you know, I couldn't read it. I should have done the air quotes, but I loved how you had the hustle. Mm-hmm. And the words, the hustle, is like one of my favorite ones, because when I do speaking engagements, the first thing that I always ask is, are you operating a business or are you operating a hustle? Mm-hmm. Now, there's no judgment, but they're completely two different things. So for you, what does the hustle mean?
Yeah. So often I work with, and myself included, was a former type A perfectionist woman. And I think when we start a business, we kind of get in this cycle of, I have to do it this way. It has to look this way. I have to work, you know, 90 hours a week, and it has to be successful in a year. And we get kind of we tend to lose ourselves and who we are and what our purpose is in amongst this hustle, this game that is not where ours to play. So it's kind of, that's what how I define it. And for me, it was a doing and then an undoing of the hustle is kind of what led me to where I'm at now.
Okay, now I followed almost everything you said until you got to the point where you said it's not ours to play. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I feel like so often we as women accept and receive things from the industry and from what we're told to do and from what we're actually, you know, what we're preached in and what works for some other people. And I feel like we as women, it might not make sense for us to do the exact, you know, script, or I call it prescription coaching, for the exact prescription that works for some men. For us, like, we need our flow, we need our time, we need our 28-day cycle versus our 24-hour hustle cycle. So I kind of bridge that gap between those two pieces.
You are interesting, because every time you speak, I get like 50 more questions.
Okay. I've heard that before.
No, it's good. Because I'm nosy, for lack of a better term. You know, like, I love to ask questions, and you keep feeding me more and more. And somehow this has turned into the menopause senior citizen cycle show.
And so you know what? I'm here for it. I'm not of that age, but I do own a lactation cookie company that does deal with hormones and does help breastfeeding moms. So I'm in that phase, but, you know, I just have your customers 30 years beforehand.
Right. You're priming up. Can I ask a question also, Sharon?
Absolutely.
Cassandra? Well, I love that you landed on your definition of the hustle, because I always teach my clients on the coaching side that, you know, hustling is not sexy. You know, it's about grace and ease, right? Where are those leverage points? So how did you get to that? Because I know when I was probably in your age category, my, you know, late 20s, I'll give you that, or early 30s, pick your spot, you know. You know, I was hustling, right? I'm pushing that boulder way up the hill. And so I didn't get to that understanding, I don't think, until I was 50, to be honest. I just, you know, that was just how I rolled. And so I love that you're there now. How did you get there so early, that idea that the hustle wasn't for you?
My goodness, that's such a long story. To give you the cliff notes, I moved out when I was 15 years old. And I kind of, well, I dropped out of high school and got a perfect score on my SATs, accepted to colleges. And I started the path of what people told me to do. So I went and got the associate's degree and the bachelor's degree and the master's degree. And then I got the job that had the 401k and the company car and the travel and this and that. And honestly, in my early 20s, I got completely burned out at a very, very young age, which a lot of people takes to the mid 40s. And they're like, what the heck am I doing? I got that really at 22, 23 years old. Mm-hmm. And that's what my agency was started out of was it's called TOLA. It's TOLA Marketing and Creative. It's a marketing agency, but it's to bring things back to balance and to equilibrium. Because I believe us as women have a perfect balance if we allow it to happen. And if we don't pendulum swing to one side or the other, we can make money and still be full of ease and grace and not the white knuckle grip, which is really just a trauma response in my mind. Same with perfectionism. It's just a trauma response and trying to control.
Mm. Now, Cassandra, you are interesting. Everyone's interesting this morning. I'm loving this show because you're like a walking contradiction in some ways, because you said, unless I heard you incorrectly, you said I dropped out of high school at 15 and then everybody expected me to get all these degrees. And typically when people are high school dropouts, a lot of people around them have absolutely no expectations from them. They expect them to do anything but get a master's degree.
So I had the expectation of my, I had that part for myself. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I remember telling my high school English teacher I'm dropping out. She's like, cool, you'll end up like your drug dealing parents. She's like, you'll never be a published author. You'll never be accomplished. And I'm like, cool, watch me. Hold your drink for a minute. Like something else is going to come up here. But no, I mean, that was the initial path that I chose was really for me. And then as I was going down the path and as I was going through college, then it's taking society's expectations of, okay, cool. The next step is go get the job. The next step is get the advancement. The next step is have the 401k, the pension, all the things.
Okay. Now it makes sense to me.
Looking for that external fulfillment in.
Yes. And I think that's as women, something we suffer from. Kiana, did you have expectations from the world when you said, I want to go out and do poetry?
Mine came from experience like hers. I came through a family of domestic violence and a experience of child abuse when I was younger, which is rape, mostly what people have overcome. Some people did, some people haven't. So my barriers came from the things that happened to me as a childhood. And I experienced writing when I was 15 years old. Someone told me that you will never be anything, you never be doing anything. I'm an author of 5 books today. And coming from a Black woman who been in poverty, who lived in poverty through domestic violence and foster care and different things like that, I was able to create my own thing into art. And art was my only escape. Not only that, I'm able to work with others who's dealing with that to overcome.
Isn't that interesting how so many of us who have accomplished something started out in such not good situations? You know, I had a similar, probably the abuse that I suffered probably wasn't as ongoing as Kiana's. But I was in foster care when I was 2 years old.
Oh, wow.
My parents divorced and split our family up. They sent two of my brothers and, you know, my oldest sister and my youngest brother went to live with my dad, and myself and my other sister lived with my mother, and we hardly saw each other. We didn't grow up together. We didn't really know each other. And then I was abused by my uncle at one point. And, you know, the thing is that it's interesting to know, to try to figure out how some people that have a really sucky childhood go one direction and it gets worse, but other people with similar experiences go in this whole different direction and they say, you know what, I'm going to make my life better. I'm not going to live in this situation. And it sounds like that's at least three of us. I don't know about Julie and Sharifa, but it sounds like we, and by the way, Cassandra, I moved out when I was 15 too.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
And I lived above a bar.
Oh, wow. I paid my week rent, mm-hmm. so she knew she would get paid. I did the hustle. I was like, here's, you know, my one, I think it was 140 per week. I'm like, here, the apartment now is covered in asbestos and boarded up. God bless it. Never would live there again. I've shown my husband. He's like, you lived here? You?
Mine was $145 a month.
Oh, wow.
Of course, I'm quite a bit older than you, Cassandra. So, you know, it was a long time ago. It didn't last for a long time. My church told me I couldn't live by myself. Mm-hmm. And so they made me move in with this church foster family. So, and I lived there for a while, but yeah, it's just interesting how we didn't know each other before today and are some of, you know, we're finding out that there's really a lot of commonalities between the people that showed up today. So,
and that is a big stepping stone for female entrepreneurs of what I've seen in my work is we use that almost as a trampoline of like, watch me I'll show you I can be successful. And then a lot of times it pendulums, especially for myself, to an unhealthy sustainability, which is why I love when Julie started talking about like having a business and having a team and selling the business and being able to grow and capitalize off. I think she said like pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I'm like, yes, like, all the yes. Like, cause we get to this point where like, we feel like we have to do it all. We have to do it all well. And that's when burnout and I have so many women that come to me and they're like, I just want to quit my business.
Yes. Yes, but I think part of that though is because it's the hustle. And that's why I talk about operating a business and operating a hustle. And for me, it's setting boundaries and setting a schedule. Like I tell people all the time, as Sharifa is a business, I don't operate 24 hours, 7 days a week. My business is open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's the extent of it. And I took all of my work emails off of my cell phone. So the only way for me to read them is on my laptop. So I'm literally going to work if that, you know, that's the mindset, but I have to be able to enjoy my life. And when we get in that hustle mode, we don't do anything but work and we feel guilty. You know, I remember one time, I was, and this is during the pandemic, I was like Netflixing. Oh yeah, see, Netflix is my thing. Like I was watching Netflix all day. And then I said, Sharifa, you can't just lay here all day and watch Netflix. And then I said to myself, Sharifa, dude, it's Saturday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why not?
Right.
Julie, you ever have that feeling of that you're supposed to be doing more or something?
Sometimes, you know, especially as an empty nester now, I have a lot more time. You know, I raised three kids while I was growing all those companies with my husband, who's super supportive. But now, you know, as of last year, I'm like, wow, I can do whatever I want. And business is actually my hobby. It took me a minute to actually get comfortable with the idea that business is my hobby. I love it. It's just like, you know, my husband plays golf every other day. He's retired. But that's, I'm like, good, get out of here so I can go like really, you know, focus and you're not talking to me or something like that, because it's what I do. I love, well, I teach focus, freedom, and flow. And that is focus on working with customers, clients that you love, because then it doesn't feel like you don't want to do it. You know, if anything, like you, Sharifa, I have to turn myself off because I love what I do so much, because I'm really selective about who I work with. And I learned that from having my own mergers and acquisitions company, like big money, but not all the clients I want to deal with. Right. So focus there. And then freedom is charging what you're worth. You know, no lowball products, no lowball consulting, because then you're just resentful. There's no freedom in undercharging. And a lot of women burn out because they're working so hard and they're not charging enough. And when you don't charge enough, then you can't have any dollars to bring in other people in your team. And so that's where the freedom comes in. And that's when you can have a life, right? Because without that, you're just, you know, selling the business, do the business, sell the business, do the business. It's just a grind. So you've got to have that freedom in the middle with that premium pricing, and everybody shows up and really appreciates you show up, they show up, it's just better. And then the flow is predictable systems. That's the only way you can have a team, right? That way it's documentable, it's teachable. After you write it down, it's documented. You can teach it to other people. And that's what makes a business scalable. So focus, freedom, and flow. That's the whole framework. There you go. There's my whole, well, that's it, like the high level of my coaching. But that's how you build a bigger business that you don't feel locked down in, that gives you the freedom to watch Netflix without guilt or start another company. Or I went to Maui the year before last year was like a disappearance for a month, ran, you know, my business from Maui for a month. And that, so when you have those things in place, then you can love your business more. So I hope I answered your question. Does that help?
No, you did. It was okay. Very interesting. It gave me a lot more questions that I can ask. So okay. Julie, do you feel, because one of the mistakes that I think that entrepreneurs make and even small business owners make is they just kind of quote unquote start the business. They do not put the processes and procedures in place. And some of the companies that I worked for were some of the largest companies in the world, like American Express. You would have to take a training class for 8 to 12 weeks before you even started on the job training. You know, back in the day, my first job out of high school was working for TWA, for Trans World Airlines. There was this 2 months training course before they even wanted you to answer the phones. But now business owners are like, okay, I hired this employee. This is your job. If you don't break it or mess it up, you get to mm-hmm. keep your job. But they don't focus on the training.
Right. You know, in a big corporation, you've got the dollars, you have the time, you have the bandwidth to have training systems like that. In a small and growing company, I say do it in parallel. You have to do both. Because what I find, especially women, that's who I coach, there's this paralysis. Everything has to be perfect. I need to get one more certification, one more degree, and then I'll start. And they do all that work and they have no clients and they're in debt paying for all that versus start. You know, it's all about action, right? You can't get any momentum in just thinking about it. So let's start and let's study at the same time. Start and find a framework and a system that can help you get to where you want to go. And you can always massage it as you go. But if you just think about it, write about it, and only, you know, plan, that's just getting ready to get ready. You got to take action and then add in the right framework along the way.
You know, yeah. Julie, that's exactly what I did when I started my first online Medicare class. I found that I was spending so much time explaining to people. You cannot believe how complicated this stuff is. I mean, I have a degree in finance and I couldn't figure it out. But I was spending at least an hour, sometimes 2 hours, trying to explain to people the differences between Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement. And I'm not going to go into that now, but basically I found myself saying that, repeating myself over and over again. And then after the conversation, I would wonder if I left something out and I'd be terrified that I forgot to tell them something. So I just took a PowerPoint presentation that I created. And I recorded myself, not my face, but I just recorded the PowerPoint presentation. It was terrible. It was awful. When I go back and look at that, it had like 7 slides for an, you know, for all this information. Can you imagine staring at the same slide for 10 minutes? And then over time, I updated it. If I would have waited until it was perfect, I'd still be waiting. It's still not perfect. I still make updates. I have a friend who did exactly that. She told me she was launching a business. She and I took, do you all know who Marie Forleo is?
Mm-hmm. I do not.
Oh, she's wonderful.
So she's been on Oprah. She's got this course that she does once a year called B-School. And it's pretty pricey, but if you've never started a business before, I had a business. It was helpful to me. I enjoyed it. You can go through it again every year if you want to. But anyway, she and I had taken this course together, and this was in 2017. She's just now launching something. So it has been 4 years. And my friend wanted everything to be perfect. And so I'm so far ahead of her now because I just did something, you know, I just went ahead and did it and it wasn't perfect. So I totally agree with what Julie is saying. Just get it, get something, start, and then you can always make it better later. You know, if you wait until everything's perfect, you'll be waiting until the day you die.
Absolutely, absolutely. Kiana, how do you work? I mean, you publish 5 books. So often the fear of what to say or what to write or what the response is to a book stops many people from even publishing a book. What was your process like? What made you just do it?
I just done it because as an overcomer, as myself and other people that's struggling what I am struggling with when I was younger, I overcame when I was 25. I'm like in my late 30s. It took me to overcome trauma. And most people who go through domestic violence at home, molestation in the home, different things like that. Some people don't never overcome the trauma. I have a book that's called Why We Won't Tell Versus Why Anyone Listens. I put that out for people who was in domestic violence, who were in molestation. And the book I have this month is called Powerful Virtuous Woman. As a woman in yourself, you got to take care of yourself. And like you said, you take a day off for yourself, mini trips or, you know, stuff like that. But when you tell yourself, you look in the mirror and tell yourself, hey, I'm beautiful. Hi, I'm unique. You know, you have to tell yourself that. And most times some women don't do that because they so depression, anxiety. They don't know if someone's going to listen to them. And I learned to myself, you have a voice. And in this world today, we all have a voice. It could be small or big, but at the same time, when you overcome your fears, you overcome you.
That's amazing. You got to end with that's amazing.
Incredible. That's, I'll say it for you. You're amazing,
Kiana. Exactly. You're amazing.
Really, you really are inspiring, Kiana. That's your message and putting your voice out there, you know, through all the things that you've overcome is very, very inspiring.
Yeah.
So thank you for your gifts.
And I was going to say one more thing too, when you said empowering women, most women, they're scared of their voice and they're more scared of their voice because what their family told them or what their friends told them or people like at their job or stuff like that. Tell them you can't do this or you can't do that or you don't have a voice. But when you a artist, you have to say something because you know what deep inside of you know, hey, I am an overcomer. This is how I feel, or this is how I know if I have a voice, everybody has a voice.
That is powerful. I like the way you almost went into poetry the way you speak. It wasn't written out, but I could see the poetry. Mm-hmm. And I
yeah, it's come natural now. It comes natural now. I have to like sometimes stop myself sometimes because it's like, how do you speak and do poetry? I don't know. It comes natural, you know. When you go deep and down inside your heart, you like, okay, it's powerful because words are powerful. Good words are powerful, you know.
Yeah, deep down inside your heart. I love it.
Yes.
That is powerful. And I can completely relate because now I'm a talk show host, but I was raised in a Muslim family, you know, and Muslim women are very submissive. You're not supposed to talk. You don't have a voice. So as an adult, I had to unlearn a lot of things and actually learn, wait a minute, I can say something. I can speak up. I can speak my truth. And it's not always easy.
And some religions are like that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And especially when people are taught that children are to be seen and not heard. You know, Cassandra, I saw you. I saw you, Cassandra.
That's exactly where I was going with that too. I was like, if I had a dollar for every time I was told like, oh, why do you think you're special? You're not. Or, you know, children should be seen and not heard, or go to your room. If I wanted to hear, shh, I'd squeeze your head. That was another famous one in my house.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if I could say that, but...
Wow. If I wanted to hear, I'd squeeze your head.
Yep. That was, I mean, or, you know, if I was crying or if I had an emotion, it would be, you know, I'll give you something to cry about. There was always,
no, we got time. That one too.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So it's hard for a woman to then step out and find her own voice because you're like, okay, if this is what my parents thought of me or my uncle or my grandparents or whomever that was supposed to be close and love me, then of course, when I step out on a stage or I step out on a podcast or I write a book and I get, you know, critique from other people that aren't my family, of course it's going to be negative. Why would we think otherwise? We're programmed from what our childhood was.
Yeah.
Yes. And Cassandra, you spoke about trauma as well in your introduction and how the trauma affects people as entrepreneurs. Can you explain that a little further?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think when people think of trauma, they tend to shy away from the word because they think all of like the big traumas. They think the big, they think, you know, the physical, mental, sexual abuse, molestation, et cetera, domestic violence, rape, et cetera. They don't think of the other little micro minute traumas that we hold into the body. So for instance, I have clients that I've worked with who have had identity issues based on what they've witnessed with their parents. Yeah. Or people who have, you know, had money scarcity issues and trauma around money because they've watched their parents lose everything. So it's this lens that we have that it always, it can only be the big top three. It's not all the other ones. And that really those subconscious belief systems that we have stored in the body are really what makes our programming and what makes our patterning, which makes us step into or step out of what our purpose is.
I love that.
Can I comment Absolutely. About identity? I mean, you just hit one of my favorite words on the planet, because identity is why is, you know, why we do anything, who we believe that we are, and that an identity can change over time. I know I'm a very different person than I was 20 years ago, or maybe even 10 years ago. And being able to identify, you know, zoom out to observe yourself and what, who are you being right now, and what is shaping your identity when we're younger? Our life circumstances shape our identity. And at a certain point in our lives, we realize that we actually have the power to have a voice, to shape our own identity, to shed our skin, whatever that was. And I think it's really important. It has been for me, because I've grown up, you know, with a lovely family, and very provided for. And I kind of had a different struggle. Like, I have so many choices. What am I going to do? Like, there were so many options. But I found when I was really young, I liked making money. I was that kid who sold stuff door to door, and I babysat. I had all the, you know, I wrote a business plan when I was 10, and my parents both, you know, worked for the university. And so I didn't have any entrepreneurs. I was just like my own little weirdo out there doing my thing. And I got, but I got a lot of positive reinforcement for that. So that started to shape my identity around that. But that early person, that persona who I had to be in corporate before I started as an entrepreneur, as a Black woman, as selling companies, I was always the only one in the room at a conference, you know, there are only 10% women, and then 1%, like zero, you know, 0.1% me. But I liked it because everyone knew who I was. I was high visibility, you know. Oh, Julie, she sells companies. Yeah, over there. Like, you could see me, you know. So I learned to turn that into a positive. But there were so many identities that I had along the way, and how they change over time. So, and we have the ability to shift our identities once we recognize that. And also be thankful for, that's what I was going to say, menopause brain. Okay. Be thankful for the identities and the experiences that we had, because there's always a gift there. It's not always easy to see. And I, you know, I can't even imagine what some of you ladies have experienced. My heart, you know, aches for you. And I teach my children to try to find the gift in everything, in every experience, because that's how you can pay it forward. That's how your gifts can come forward through that pain, or through that adversity, or through abundance. You know, it always doesn't have to be something that's really hard. It can be something where you've had to make difficult choices as you grow up. So identity is huge. I encourage everyone listening to search, you know, online and learn about identities and how you have the power to choose your own identity. Choose your own.
And when I was younger, I used to change my identity by moving.
That was me too.
I moved away from where, I moved, and I would, I'd say, well, in this new move, I remember when I left Spokane, Washington, I was in my very early 20s, and I left with my boyfriend, and I don't want to call him a pothead, but he
but
you know,
he smoked a lot of pot.
Today wouldn't have been that big of a deal, though.
Like, especially in California. But right, back then it was. I mean, we're talking about, I'm 55. So think about when you were, you know, you're the same age as I am, Julie.
Cheers.
But so think about when you were 19, 20. I mean, it was illegal, first of all. And so when we moved, I said, okay, so we were moving to really make a better life for ourselves. We moved to Los Angeles.
And wow, that's a place to make a better life for yourself.
Well, from Spokane, you know, we kind of where I lived before, it was, I don't know, nothing was going on. You know, the people that I knew in Spokane, they're still doing the same thing that they were doing way back when. And so we moved to make a better life for ourselves to, you know, we dropped out of college, both of us. We were in community college. We dropped out and we said to ourselves, if we both find jobs, we'll move. So we did. We both found jobs. I found a job at Nordstrom and he found a job with his sister's boyfriend, like kind of like his brother-in-law. And I think he's still working there actually. But when we moved, I said, okay, let's be better. Let's not hang out with potheads. Let's hang out with people who are, you know, going to lift us up, right? First thing he did was make friends with the neighbor across the hall, because we lived in an apartment across the hall. He was a pothead. So I had to break up with him because I knew that I wanted a better life. And I'm like, this isn't going to change. So then I moved again, changed who I was a little bit. Each time I moved,
interesting,
I set myself up with a different type of people that I hung out with. I'm like, because I'll never change if I don't change my friends. Because my friends, I don't want to.
I hear you. I didn't mean to cut you off, but you know, that's who I am, what I tend to do. It was interesting to me because I can kind of relate, you know, aside from my high school years, I changed schools every year, you know, every year, elementary, every year through junior high, because we moved around a lot. And so what I always had to do is adjust to whatever that new group was. And so I learned how to kind of be a chameleon and fit in wherever I was. And it, until I became into my 40s and actually late 30s, I looked around, I'm like, you know what? I have the same group of friends. My friends now are my friends. We've been friends since high school. But when I hear you say you changed your identity, to me, I feel that's you looking for a way to fit in, to see who you really are, to see who the real Kathy is. And then over time, I'm pretty sure you woke up one day and it's like, this is me. This is my identity.
I think I was in my 30s. I think it was in my 30s by the time I wasn't, you know, I mean, I change a little bit, but I'm basically who I am now. Like my friends, I have the same kind of friends. You know, I don't have a lot of pothead friends like I did when I was in my, you know, in fact, I don't know anybody. And well, where I live now, it's not legal. So I wouldn't know. They wouldn't tell me.
Kathy, you're describing my world. I'm in Long Beach in Southern California. It's like legal. Everyone I know is a pothead.
Oh, wow.
I'm just saying. it's just like California.
I feel like there's a natural metamorphosis that almost takes place with people. And some people get out of it in their 30s. Other people I've worked with are still in it well into their 60s and 70s. But it's really finding who you are. And I love what Julie said about there's the being identity of who you are right now, but there's also the becoming part of identity of who you want to be and what you want to embody. Mm-hmm. And merging those two pieces, that's when you really become unshakable and you're like, I am who I am. You can like me or you can hate me. And that's when your tribe gravitates and they're like, yes, you are my girl, or absolutely not. I want nothing to do with her.
Right. Yeah.
Clarity. Well, you know, the two of you, Cassandra and Julie, you're both coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, people who seek out coaches, and I've had a business coach in the past and wow, she really helped my business, but people that seek out coaches are seeking change. They're seeking a metamorphosis. Yeah. They want to either change their business or change their life. And sometimes by doing that, you have to change things that are, it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you have to say, okay, well, these family members, I can't hang out with them anymore. Or these people, right.
Yeah, I feel like a big piece, which I'm sure Julie's going to jump on too, is for me is helping people with boundaries within their business and within their life and figuring out like, is it healthy? Is it unhealthy? Yes, you're getting these feelings, these thoughts, these emotions coming up when you're around this type of people or when you're acting a certain way or when you're going to a certain crowd. Is that what you want to feel? Is that what you want to be feeling? Or is there some sort of resistance and congruence that you're actually experiencing?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think it's just learning that no is a complete sentence, you know, 100%. And setting boundaries, Because when no one was happy. No one liked it when I took my emails. I mean, I didn't tell anyone, but no one liked it when I took my emails off my cell phone. But they began to notice it because they didn't receive instant gratification. They didn't get that instant response that they were used to because I was always on my emails. And so I just had to set that boundary. Like any other company, you should allow at least 24 hours for a response. You know, I don't have to respond to you immediately just because that's what you want. And I'm happy and I'm okay. Like, Cassandra, you said you were in your early 30s, late
20s? Early 30s, yeah.
Girl.
Well, almost mid 30s, but yes, I'll go with early. Okay.
When you, Julie, Kathy, correct me if I'm wrong, but when you hit 40 or 39, you'll start to feel this confidence of, I'm just okay with me. Like, I love me.
And whoever I'm almost there.
Julie?
I'm in my late 30s.
There you go. 40 is a huge milestone, huge. Mm-hmm. And 50, you're like, forget it. I do what I want, you know? I mean, whatever. But that doesn't take anything away from the experience of 30s and 40s, right? 20s, 30s, and 40s, because it's all part of the becoming. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add, though, you know, as I go forward, what a couple of things that I always tell my clients, too, is that we're always evolving. So you don't ever, you know, as we're sitting here or talking today for an hour-ish, you know, we've all shed all kinds of thousands of millions of cells, you know, between the five of us. So we are not the same people we were 40 minutes ago, and we're not going to be. So you're going to continue to evolve. So be conscious about that and choose the identity that you want. We all have the ability. And for me, growing Bossa Bars, you know, we're growing this to $100 million. Just, I'm going to say that out loud because you guys is my witness. Okay, let's have this conversation again. And so I've grown a $5 million company, but I haven't grown a $100 million company. So the Julie that grew the 5 million is going to have to be different than the Julie that grows 100 million. So I'm working in developing that level of identity, because if I was already that person, I would have already achieved that. It'd been done. So yeah. I still have more evolving and work to do. And a lot of that has to do with who you surround yourself with. You've probably all heard, you know, you are the five people that you surround yourself with. So be very protective about who you spend your time with, who you allow in your ears, in your heart, in your gut. Because when we have people close to us, you know, we are influenced by them. So be really careful about who you share your dreams with. So I just told all five of you, so I trust you and who you let close to you. But that identity is an ongoing thing. It's an ongoing thing. We are never stuck. We can always grow, always be in a growth mindset.
But it can be very difficult to shed a friend that is not serving you.
Totally. Yes. I agree. Girl.
And
until you're 50.
It's many times that is what holds people back. Like you said, Julie, the people that surround you, and those are your friends.
Yeah. And well, they're usually your family. Those are the heart. Yes. That's why people struggle. Ooh, because they're usually your family.
I moved far away from them. Right. I'm nowhere near my family.
definitely want to dream. Definitely. And Julie, you let us in on that $100 million vision, and I was seeing at least $1 billion for you, Julie. I'm telling
you. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I'm thinking too small. Thank you, Julie. I'm going to up my game right now.
So, that's an example of a friend holding you to accountable to something you can't even see for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You got $1 billion.
I can't wait. Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens.
This trajectory. Now, I have enjoyed the Menopause Senior Citizen Women National Independence show today, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Kiana, the artist.
Yes, I'm going to say another poem for the audience. All in one, the attitude of character, to visible love, to unspoken word. I'm the artist. He believe in God, believe also in me. I'm a woman. I'm a woman with faith with God. What matters to me, what falls in place, to never suggestify what you can become. Every day is a new day. Every day is a bright and sunny day. I tend to be with my friends and become even more. My deepest fear is to believe in yourself. To judge me because I am Black, this moment of speech. Now walk in my shoes, now walk in my shoes, now walk in my shoes, now walk in my shoes. My naysayers can't say what to say about you because I am somebody, because I am somebody. To the natural hair, to the natural eyes, to the natural lips, look at me, I'm natural. The sexy term is you. Is this mic on? Can I have your attention, please? Words and words and dreams is reality. So I am here because I'm the next generation. Thank you.
Wow.
I do that. Do we have to go after that? Like, seriously, holy
Sandra, you go.
Now walk in my shoes. Now walk in my shoes. Now walk in my shoes. I love it. That was good. I'm going to have to look out for that. Thank you, Kiana, the artist. That's so beautiful. Kathy, what do you have for us?
Well, you make me go after, right? How am I supposed to follow that? But if you are listening or watching this, and I have two things for you as the listener, if you are thinking about retiring, selling your business, whatever, and you're not really sure what happens after that, then listen to the Rock Your Retirement Show. And if you know somebody who's turning 65 or needs help with Medicare, they can go to my free course, medicarequick.com/class. And that will take you to the course site. Thanks for being here. And this has been really fun getting to know everybody.
Yes. Thank you for joining the conversation. I appreciate you. Cassandra, what do you have for us?
My goodness, after that poem, I'm still like, I have nothing. I mean, I just am super blessed and excited to have been able to share this space with you ladies. And I mean, I really feel like my calling and my work is in people's identity and overcoming that trauma to create a business and a life you love, to not wait for retirement before you, you know, live the life and live the dreams that you were meant to do. And I mean, that's pretty much what I have. You're more than welcome to check me out. I have my own podcast as well. It's called Shit's About to Get Really Crazy. It's pointing out synchronicities and coincidences in life. But my website's my name, CassandraShuck.com, and loved being able to be in this sacred space with you guys.
You got to come back because at the end, you threw us that podcast and I have a million questions. You know, I got to hear more about this. What's about to happen? What's about to get real?
I will be more than happy to come back, but absolutely more than happy to come back.
Fantastic. Thank you. Julie, what do you have for us?
Well, first, Sharifa, thanks so much for having this container of conversation with real women. And I'm so glad to be here with the people that were here today. Always perfect, right? So I think I would just leave with that, you know, all things are possible for women. All things are possible. There are no ceilings on what you can do, what you want to put out in the world, your big, beautiful gifts. And I like to say that if you thought of it, it's for you. So trust that. If it wasn't for you, you wouldn't even have the idea for it. So if you thought of it, it's for you. So go for it at any age. And if you just happen to be menopausal and you want an all natural boost to satisfy those cravings, get in your veggies, your MCT, your maca and chocolate instead of other yucky things, then please visit us at bossabars.com. And Sharifa, I'm going to put together a promo code just for your audience. So if they put in, so give me a little bit after the show. And if they put in Sharifa as the promo code, please be my guest with 10% off your first order. So thank you so much for having us. And I have to say, you know, meno like a boss.
I love it. Meno like, does that apply to the perimenopause too? Because
heck yeah.
I'll be 45 on the 31st. So all of my friends are in this, oh my God, what's happening? We're not there yet, but why is it so hot kind of thing?
Sliding right on in there. So yes, actually peri to post, we've got you covered.
Yes, and I'm going to check out some of those Bossa bars. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you're not important. It doesn't mean we still don't need your support, because we do. Please go ahead and share the show with your network. But as I always ask, Please support our guests. Our guests were here with you this morning to share their story. They were authentic. They shared so much personal information just for you. So please support them. Visit their websites. Their link is in the Facebook post. Julie is giving you a 10% discount off of Boxa Bars just by entering the code Sharifa. So make sure you go ahead and support her. But as always, please don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Don't just visit the websites. Reach out to our guests, follow them on social media, send them a tweet, send them an inbox. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.